Why don't you turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Really excited to be in this book, in this chapter. There's such great treasures of truth for us here. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the awesome privilege of gathering as your people to hear your truth, to hear your voice, the voice of the shepherd speaking to us. And Lord, we want to hear today from you. So we ask, I ask that I would be able to get out of the way and let you speak through me to your people in a way that you get all the glory and we are blessed by being in your presence, that we are convicted by your truth, that we are challenged to grow, that we are encouraged in our walk with you. Lord, work in us today for your sake. We ask in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity, simplicity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and I can testify beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor, the grace of taking part in the relief, the service of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. I want to focus this morning on that last verse, verse 5. But to get there, we'll do a little bit of review on what we've covered last week on verses 1 to 4. Paul here in this chapter is talking about giving. He's encouraging the Corinthians to give generously. But it's interesting, as he does that, he avoids using words like giving or collecting or offering. Instead, he fixes our attention on grace, on the grace of God given. God is the giver. God is the giver. God, it is God's gift of grace that necessarily precedes and motivates any acceptable giving. Let me say that again. I want us all to know this and have this clear in our hearts. It is God's gift of grace that necessarily precedes, comes before, and motivates any acceptable giving. Now there's other giving. There's unacceptable giving. But giving that is acceptable to the Lord is motivated by and preceded by His grace freely given to us. We love because He first loved us. We give because He is the supreme giver of all things. He first freely gave of Himself to us. God's grace was given, and this was evidenced in the Macedonians in the overflow of a wealth of generosity. ESV translates this word generosity. That's an interpretive translation based on the context, because we clearly understand as we read this chapter, Paul's talking about generosity. He's talking about giving, but that's not exactly what this word means. Simplicity is what this word is translated as more often where it occurs. Simplicity is this phrase literally could be translated, they superabounded in the riches of their simplicity. Simplicity is a word Paul uses to describe single-hearted devotion to Christ, in contrast to double-mindedness or a divided heart, a divided affections. It overflowed in their simplicity, their single-hearted devotion to Christ. God's undeserved grace poured out on the Macedonians. That ignited in them a single-hearted affection for the Lord. And this spilled over in an urgency to extend grace to others. They begged, it says, for the grace and the fellowship of service, ministry to the saints. This service, this ministry was a grace. It says they begged us for the favor. That word literally is grace, favor, something undeserved. They didn't earn the ability to serve others. It was given to them. First of all, it was a grace to them. Then it welled up into grace from them as they extended God's freely given, freely received grace, as they extended that now to others. They gave freely, not under compulsion. They were eager for the opportunity. It says they begged us for the opportunity. They were not the originators of this grace. They were a channel. They passed God's grace that had been given to them on to others. Freely they had received, freely they gave. This ministry, this service was a grace, and it was also a fellowship. It was communion. They were, it says, taking part. That word is the Greek word koinonia. It means fellowship or communion. It connected them. This service to the saints was a way for them to connect with other believers in the wider body of Christ. It connected them with the saints. They were eager for the connection, for the fellowship that bearing one another's burdens created. They were eager for connection with the wider body of Christ. Now, Paul is holding up the Macedonians as an example to the Corinthians, but not primarily as an example of giving or generosity. They got grace. They did not receive, they got it, they understood it. They did not receive the grace of God in vain, as he warns the Corinthians against doing. They got grace and it changed them. God's undeserved grace, freely given to them, ignited in them a single-hearted affection for the Lord, an eagerness to extend grace to others in service, to be connected in fellowship with others in service. They understood. The Macedonians understood that following Jesus was costly. They were in a severe test of affliction. They were in, it says, the depths of poverty, a deep down poverty. And yet, in the midst of those circumstances, God's grace created in them an unquenchable overflow of joy in Jesus. Now this is what Paul is eager to see formed in the Corinthians and in us. He is after not our money, but our hearts. He wants to see us receive grace in such a way that it so transforms us that this single-hearted affection for Jesus overflows in joy in Jesus and an eagerness to serve others, to extend grace and be connected in fellowship with others. You see, what we do with our money is merely an outward indicator of where our affections are. What we treasure most. Their single-hearted service was according to their power. He says even beyond their ability. Now look at verse 5. And not according to what we had hoped, but their own selves they gave. First to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They gave. Here Paul uses the word giving. This verse says they gave, but it doesn't say they gave their money, their resources. It says they gave more than that. It says themselves. And he puts that word themselves right out in front for emphasis. Themselves they gave. Their very own selves they gave. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. They gave themselves first to the Lord. Now, first there doesn't only mean first in time. Like, first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then after that they gave themselves to the apostles, to Paul, to his co-workers. Now, it is that, but it's more than that. It means first in importance, first in priority. Most importantly, they gave themselves to the Lord. First over everything else, they gave themselves to the Lord. Now, what do you give yourself to? Do you give yourself to your job? To being the best at something? Do you give yourself to your family? Those are good things to give yourself to. To earn an income, to support yourself, to be able to serve and give others, to serve your family well. Those are good things to give yourself to. This says they gave themselves first to the Lord. And what does that mean? How do you give yourself to the Lord? We use those words, but what does that mean exactly? What does it look like to give yourself to the Lord? Now, first of all, we read this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. God owns you. He paid dearly for you to purchase you as His own precious, treasured possession. Romans 7 verse 4 says that you died so that you may belong to another, to Him who has been raised from the dead. See, as believers in Jesus, we no longer belong to ourselves. We no longer have rights over ourselves. We are owned. We are owned by God. He paid the price. He purchased us for Himself. Now, how does one give oneself to the Lord if you already belong to the Lord? And we're talking about believers, those who have trusted in Jesus, those who already are the treasured possession of the Lord God. How does one who already belongs to someone give themselves to that someone? I think Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 6 is helpful here. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So, therefore, glorify God in your body. He tells them what is true. As believers in Jesus, you belong to Jesus. He paid the price. You're His property. You are under new ownership. You were bought. But His exhortation, therefore, is based on their identity. Therefore, because of who you are, because of whose you are, you should seek to glorify Him in your body. He uses this again as a foundation for his argument in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. He says, "You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants or slaves of men. Because you have a new master, don't divide your interests. Don't sign up as a slave of somebody else. You already belong to someone. You already were bought." He's saying, live consistent with who you are, with whose you are. Live consistent with what is true of you. Be who you are. That's his exhortation. This is true of you. Now act like it. That is the Christian life. These things, learning, these things are true of me as a believer in Jesus. Now I want to live consistently with what is true of me. That is the Christian life. Our growth in understanding what is true of us in Christ and learning day by day, failure by failure, to live that out. That's what the Christian life is all about. What is true of me because I belong to Jesus? And how can I live in a manner that's consistent with those truths, those gospel truths? The Macedonians had responded to the call of Jesus when Paul preached the gospel to them, and so they now belong to Jesus, and now they are living consistent with who they belong to, whose they are. They, it says, gave themselves first over everything else to the Lord. Now in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul says, "What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Paul says, you belong, who you are, you belong to another. You belong to the Lord who bought you. Now he's talking about what you have. What do you have? What do you own? Well, you don't. Everything you have has been given to you by him. He owns it. Why do you boast as if you did not receive it? It was a gift to you. We need to remember this. Everything we have, everything we consider ours, is a gift, is grace. Our possessions, our talents, our relationships, all a gift, given to us by God. John says in John 3:27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Even the ability to receive a gift is given to us from God. Now, it's interesting. King David wrestled with this question. This question of, I belong to God, but I'm to give myself to God. And how does that work? I already belong to him, and yet I'm to give myself to him. David, in 1 Chronicles 29, wrestles with that question. And I'd encourage you to turn there in your Bibles. 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, 29. Usually on the first couple pages of your Bible, there's an index that tells you what page the books are on. Feel free to use that. That can be helpful. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in one of the seats near you. You're welcome to use that. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 6. This is David, now king of Israel, making a collection for the building of the temple. He's been told that he was not to build it, but he is making preparations for his son to build the temple. And he is taking a collection from the people, saying, we want, God has been, his external visible manifestation that he is living among his people has been a tent, a portable building called the tabernacle that Moses, under Moses' leadership in the wilderness, they carried this thing throughout their wilderness wanderings for 40 years. Now they're in the promised land. They've been through the time of the judges. This portable tent has been kicked around for a long time. David says, he's provided me a house. We want to provide him a house. We want to provide a permanent dwelling. Would you give to make this a glorious building worthy of the Lord? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 6, it says, the leaders of the fathers' houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of the thousands and of the hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They made their free will offerings. They freely gave. David said, here's what we're doing. We're inviting you to give. And they freely gave. In verse 9, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9, it says, "Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord." David the king also rejoiced greatly. You see what's going on here? You've got giving, free giving, and joy accompanying that giving. It says the leaders made free will offerings. Now pay attention to the language here. They had given willingly, it says, with a whole heart. Not a divided heart, a simple heart. We would import that language from 2 Corinthians. With a whole heart. They were wholehearted in their, we are behind this. This is our primary desire. Offering, it says, freely to the Lord. They were under no compulsion. They were not pressured. They were not forced. They were free. They chose to do it. And they did it, it says, gladly, with joyful hearts. They were eager. They were excited to give. And this, their giving brought joy to the king as he saw the people's hearts holy after the Lord. Willingly, freely, joyfully giving. But listen to how David prays in the next verses. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10. "Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Everything belongs to you, O God.'" "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head above all." Now, David's kingdom was being established. David was the king. But David is acknowledging, I am a king of God's kingdom under God. God is the head over me, over all. "You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." Verse 14, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." You hear what he's wrestling with there? He's saying, God, you are the possessor, you are the owner of heaven and earth. And we are freely, willingly, eagerly, joyfully giving, but what we're giving, it's already yours. How is it that we're able to willingly give what we don't own? We give to you what you already own. How does that work? Everything belongs to God. Everything in heaven and in earth. Riches and honor come from the Lord. Even our strength, he says, comes from the Lord. All things come from you, and yet the people are freely giving, willingly giving of all that is in their power, of all that belongs to God. There's a tension here between God's ownership of everything and our ability to freely give, to of our own will give. How does that work? How are we able to give willingly when everything we have is yours? It came from you, it belongs to you, now we're giving it back to you. He continues in verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for the building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand, and it is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. You see, he says, it's with upright hearts that we give. Freely, willingly, joyously, with a whole heart. They gave to God what already belonged to God, and God was pleased with their gift. But God was pleased with their heart behind the gift. God tests the hearts of his people by putting some of his possessions in our possession. And God is pleased when with a whole heart we give, freely and joyously give back to him some of what is his. And then David prays in verse 18, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. And then he prays for his son, grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all that he may build, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. See, David understands that even their willingness, the purpose of their hearts, even that was from God. It says God directs the hearts of his people. So he asks God, keep such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people. David understands we can't retain this wholehearted devotion to you. We can't sustain that. So he says, God, would you do that? Because you're the one who directs our hearts. He asks God to do it. Because it is in God's power to do it. And David doesn't praise the people for their willingness. He praises God for the willingness of the people. Because he sees God brought this about. God directs the hearts of his people. And he asks God to maintain and sustain this joyful generosity. Now this is grace. This is God first freely giving to us and his gift igniting in us a response of joyful generosity, a single-hearted simplicity of affection toward him, an eagerness to please him above all, to extend his grace to others as he has enabled us. Now Paul here in 2 Corinthians tells us that this is by the will of God. Themselves they gave, first to the Lord and to us, by the will of God. They gave and they gave by the will of God. The other place we see this phrase is the opening lines of both of his letters to Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. This is the sovereign will of God. Paul, as his apostle, God calls Paul as his apostle, and Paul gladly responds to that call. Paul recognized the same sovereign purposes of God at work here now in the Macedonian churches, and they gladly, single-heartedly, gave themselves by the will of God to the Lord and to him in response to the grace of God that was poured out first to them. So what does this look like for us? What does it mean to give ourselves first to the Lord? From this passage we see it's got to start. It must start with us receiving first God's freely given undeserved grace toward us. Any other starting point gets in the wrong direction. We must first receive God's freely given grace. We can't look at Jesus and the cross and say, that is great and I need that and I want to contribute. I want to pay part of my way. Now we must come empty-handed and say, I must receive. I've got nothing good to offer. I must first freely receive God's grace. See, it starts with God's grace freely given to us. We can attempt to do things for the Lord and give things to the Lord, but if we haven't first experienced His grace toward us in Jesus, then that is nothing but self-effort and self-righteous performance. And it actually is offensive to God. As if we're saying, Jesus is great, but it's not quite enough. I need to add to what Jesus did, some of what I did. I need to contribute. That's offensive to God. First, we must receive before we can give. We receive His grace. We receive forgiveness through the finished work of Jesus. We receive new life. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of us. In response to God's free and undeserved grace, we gladly see that all that we have and all that we are come from the Lord. And in response, we can eagerly give ourselves back to Him. What does this look like? In the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, by the mercies of God, there it is again. This is by God's grace, by His undeserved kindness. By the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In the words of Colossians 1, Paul prays that they would have the spiritual wisdom to know God's will so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does it look like to give yourself first to the Lord? Knowing His will, eager to walk in a manner pleasing to Him in all things, bearing fruit for Him, the fruit that the Holy Spirit grows in us, increasing in our relationship with Jesus. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And He says, once you have received that, now you can enter into my giving. These are some of the ways we can give ourselves first to the Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And His people ask, What are you talking about? When did we see you hungry? When did we give you food? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? How did we give ourselves to you? We don't understand. And He says in verse 40, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. How do we give ourselves to the Lord? Well, first we must experience His gift. We must receive His grace. Then, having received His free gift of grace, as it stirs in our hearts an eagerness for service, an eagerness for single-hearted devotion to Him, an eagerness to love and serve others, to be connected in fellowship with others. We see needs around us, and we eagerly and joyfully enter into that. Give yourself first to the Lord. Does Jesus have first place in your heart, in your affections? Does He have first priority? Does He have access to all that you have? Or is something off limits? Lord, I'll give you all of this, but I've got this that I'm got in a special place in my heart, and I'm you can't touch that. All of this is but not this. What is that for you? Does He have access to all that you have? Does He have access to all of you? Will you today give yourself completely first to Him? Father, we need Your help. We need to experience Your grace in such a way that this is not hard, that this is not painful, but this is joyful. As we surrender areas of our lives that maybe we've reserved for ourselves, as we surrender those to You, it's not hard because we recognize the extent of Your love for us, the extent, the extravagant price You paid for us, the hugeness of Your mercy and grace to us. Lord, help us to get grace so that we can look in Your face and say, how could we hold back anything from the One who has given everything for me? Make it so in each one of us, for the glory of Your great name we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope today you experience His love, that you realize and recognize and know His love for you, not in a narcissistic sense of, wow, the God of the universe loves me, I must be pretty important and pretty special and pretty lovable for, I mean, that's all about me. No, recognize that you are a sinner, you are a rebel, you are an enemy, and while you were still sinners, Christ showed His love for you, and that He went to the cross to pay your price, to pursue you, that you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, and He came after you and made you alive to make you His own because He loves you. He wants to show His glory of who He is. I'd invite you to trust Him today, to depend on Him today. Maybe you've not tasted His love for you yet. I would invite you to come clean before Him and say, hey, you know it all, you see it all already, you paid for it all on the cross. Here I am, here's my sin, I willingly surrender myself, my sinful self to you. Would you cleanse me, make me new? Would you forgive me and wash me whiter than snow? Would you make me yours? I want to belong to you. I want to be under new ownership, because the ownership I've had, it stinks. Make me yours. Give yourself first today to the Lord. God bless you. Thanks for being here to worship with us. If you have questions, if you need prayer, please ask. We want to be here to serve you.